And welcome back. Actor LeVar Burton first gained fame for his role in the TV miniseries Roots and then for his portrayal as Geordi LaForge on Star Trek: The Next Generation. But he's perhaps most well known for his 26 years of hosting the PBS children's series Reading Rainbow. LeVar Burton will speak tomorrow night at 7 at Washington University as part of the school's Assembly Series. During the turmoil in Ferguson last year, Burton supported the Ferguson Library's role in the community. Producer Katie Cook spoke with Burton yesterday and first asked him about that.
I love libraries. I think libraries are really underutilized national resources. Libraries ensure that all citizens in this country have access to the knowledge, the information. You know, Ferguson is clearly a community that is going through challenging times and a lot of upheaval, and libraries are sanctuaries. They're like churches for me. And I was just really proud to see how they stepped up to become, to show how much of a community resource they were during the recent troubles.
What do you plan to speak about when you're here in St. Louis?
My remarks will be around the power of storytelling. I believe everybody has a story, and everybody has a powerful story, and storytelling, at least for me, is pretty much one of the most powerful modalities of communication that we possess as human beings. Every culture in every country has a tradition of storytelling, and I believe it's an essential and elemental part of the human experience, and as such, I believe that if we were to utilize it more in the service of our core education in this nation, we would have an opportunity to do a much more effective job than we currently are.
And how do you think we can do that? How can we incorporate the power of storytelling?
Well, I believe that if you take any content that you desire to communicate to an audience, let's say in this case an audience of children, and you embed it in the native storytelling idioms of that culture, that you can teach them anything. Moving pictures and sound happen to be one of the most powerful ways we communicate as human beings, because we are so physiologically predisposed to be open while in that experience of moving pictures and sound. So if we utilize that same storytelling technology to educate, like Reading Rainbow, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Reading Rainbow was a television show that steered children back in the direction of the written word. We used TV and a very specific storytelling technique. The video field trip connected to a specific book, giving kids the essential information that, number one, by picking up a book, I can go anywhere in the universe. And number two, the universe is full of a variety of experience, and I only have to sample enough before I find that which resonates with me. So we know that we were incredibly effective over 26 years of that storytelling modality on television.
Yeah.
We have but to adopt similar storytelling modalities that are essentially native to the digital realm. We're doing the same thing with the Reading Rainbow app that we've always done, using the prevailing technology to promote literature to children who are in the process of making the decision as to whether or not they're going to be a reader for life or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, because that's a really important part of it for me. That's an important part of the equation. We have to get to kids at the right time in their lives when they're deciding whether or not they're going to be a reader.
Mm-hmm.
We self-identify as you're either a reader or you're not, right?
Hmm.
There's two kinds of human beings,
yeah,
in my view. And to reach a child at that critical juncture when they're making the decision,
right,
is what I've been about for these last 30 years.
That's what I was going to say. I feel like Reading Rainbow did a great job of turning kids into readers. If they weren't, they caught their attention and got them interested in going and finding a book.
And we did that by going to where kids were, meeting them where they are and taking them where you want to go. That's my philosophy, which is not a, you know, it's a basic tenet of parenting. Meet your kids where they are and then take them where you want them to go.
And you and your partner, Mark Wolf. Mm-hmm. You felt that the best way to do that once the show was canceled was with an app.
Well, we didn't know immediately what it was going to be, but we knew that there was an opportunity and that it probably, you know, wasn't going to be television. When Reading Rainbow was canceled, in effect, in 2009, Mark and I saw it as an opportunity, and we worked very hard to secure the rights to Reading Rainbow. And even when we did not know specifically what we were going to do once we had the rights. So it was a couple of years process, you know, sort of throwing a lasso around all of them because they had been scattered. These rights were over here, certain rights were over there. So we gathered them all together and then made a deal with WNED, the Buffalo Public Television Station that owns the mark, that owns the brand. And it was a process of evolution. When the iPad came out, that was a huge moment for us because we recognized that with the tablet computer, the reality that there was a paradigm shift that mm-hmm. was potential in the way we consumed literature and the opportunity to incorporate more sophisticated storytelling techniques into books in the digital realm became really apparent. And it was like, well, this is what we want to do.
So tell me more about the app. How does it work? And what does it do exactly?
Well, we are a library. We consider ourselves not just an app, but a service. We are a service that is a library of books, digital books, and videos. And that's really important because those were the two most essential elements of Reading Rainbow, the television show.
Right.
The books coupled with the videos. And so in terms of the books, we create the digital version of these books based on our promise to the authors and illustrators that we will respect their original intellectual property in a way that is consistent with the Reading Rainbow brand, which is to say we don't give kids the opportunity to touch the screen and have something happen willy-nilly.
Mm-hmm.
It's always in concert with the narrative. Every interaction that we plan and plot in our digital books are always in concert with the narrative. And then on the other side, the video field trips, it is, you know, it's all new content, all new video field trips with LeVar, just like the original television series, which we go out and shoot. I'm on my lunch break from a shoot here in Thousand Oaks, California, where we are filming one of our UTech segments, which is a partnership that we have going on with YouTube now to provide a new video every week, every Wednesday, around the idea of the world that kids are growing up in today that is full of technology.
So what about the kids who, you know, don't have iPads, don't have their own smartphones? How can they benefit from what you're doing?
I'm so glad you asked. As of the end of April, we are coming out with our service, our Reading Rainbow service, on the web. And this is as a direct result of the Kickstarter campaign that we ran just last year.
Right.
The Kickstarter campaign was called Every Child Everywhere. It was our desire to take what we know to be an effective way to reach children at that critical juncture and turn them into readers. It is that idea with a larger footprint. So far, we've been available on the Apple iPad and the Kindle Fire. Now, as of April, we'll be on the web, and that means we'll be able to reach many, many more kids. And then in September, we release our product for schools, which was also made possible by Kickstarter, and that's a product that will have lesson plans and the kinds of bells and whistles that teachers really require in order to use the Reading Rainbow content, our books and our videos, in the classroom at what is the point of purchase, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every day in the trenches with kids.
Did you see yourself doing this sort of work when you set out to be an actor? and you've had several prominent roles. It was 1983 that you were presented with the opportunity to be on this show.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? Something you planned? Was it a surprise?
I don't think life is something that you can really plan. You can have plans, but you really need to be flexible.
Mm-hmm.
My life has. I believe that everything happens for a reason, you know, and I can look back and see very clearly the way in which literature, the written word, has played really an essential part in the unfoldment of my life and the development of who I am. And I only have to look, you know, as far as Roots, which was a miniseries, my first job, a miniseries based on the novel, the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Alex Haley. Star Trek: The Next Generation was the vision of Gene Roddenberry. Now, it was a television series, but everybody knows that, you know, that it all begins with a script. If it ain't on the page, we say in show business, it ain't on the stage, right? So, and it was really the Roots experience where I discovered just how powerful this medium of television can be in terms of doing more than just entertaining. I mean, we really can enlighten, inform, educate. I believe that when we are doing our jobs right, we can uplift and really move the culture forward through this very powerful medium. And the power really is derived from the fact that it is so popular. Mm-hmm. It is so ubiquitous. And so it is clear to me that there is a real through line in my life and in my career that is heavily weighted towards literature. And I go with that, you know. I'm good with that.
What are some books that you go back to, you return to again and again, or that have impacted you?
Oh, my goodness. I don't think there's a book that I've ever read that hasn't had an impact on me in some way. You know, my worldview is hugely informed by the books that I have read throughout the course of my life. And I'm talking about both nonfiction as well as fiction. And fiction literature for me is probably the most inspirational. I believe that two of the most important words in combination in language are what if, and that invitation, the what if, comes from the world of science fiction literature. Hmm. It is science fiction literature that really invites us to contemplate the what if, and out of that question has come so many advances and in technology and socially that we enjoy today. I believe that there was some child who grew up in the late 60s and early 70s, watched those original episodes of Star Trek,
mm-hmm.
right, with
yeah.
Captain Kirk pulling out his communicator, flipping it open and calling the ship and asking Scotty to beam him up. That child became an engineer, mm-hmm. a designer of product, and is responsible for a piece of technology more prevalent on this planet than the toaster. Because we have all seen or even used a flip cell phone mm-hmm. in our lives. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
The ear piece that we use, the Bluetooth ear device,
right,
modeled on Lieutenant Uhuru's communication device
yeah.
that she put in her ear. I believe Steve Jobs was a Star Trek fan. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we carry around tablet computers is, in fact, at least in part, inspired by Star Trek. The link between that which we focus our imagination on, and that's really what science fiction literature is all about, getting us to really focus our imagination in a very specific direction. The link between that which we imagine and that which we manifest is inextricable. It is how creation in the human realm takes place. We imagine it, and then we do it.
Hmm.
One does not happen without the other. It's a two-step process.
Are you reading anything right now, or have you read anything recently that you
I'm always
liked?
Reading something, at least two or three books. Right now, I'm deep into Neil Gaiman because I love short short fiction. Mm-hmm. Short fiction is really my favorite because it's a demonstration of mastery. Short fiction. If you can tell a story in 5 pages that is whole and complete and satisfying, or 20 pages or 30 pages, then you're exercising a level of mastery over the craft that is truly impressive and rare. And so I love the short story and always have. And right now, Neil Gaiman's Trigger Warning is just it is everything to me in this moment.
I certainly, when I imagine you, I certainly imagine you always reading piles of books around you at all times.
Well, see, the thing about living in the world today, it's a miracle to me that I can carry around on my tablet computer virtually a library of books. This is, I mean, and I mean this sincerely. To me, this is a miracle, because books for me have always been a physical good, and books necessarily had weight. And I travel a lot. In the month of April, there are only 6 days in which I am not on a plane traveling somewhere. Wow. And so the luxury of being able to carry all the literature I could ever want to read and then some around with me with no additional weight is truly miraculous. It is a marvel of the modern era that I do not take lightly, nor do I take it for granted. And people ask me all the time, well, so where do you come down on printed books versus digital books? And the real truth for me is there's room in my life for both. Absolutely.
That's actor LeVar Burton talking with producer Katie Cook. Burton is best known for his work on the TV miniseries Roots, as Geordi LaForge on Star Trek The Next Generation, and as the host of the PBS children's series Reading Rainbow. Burton will be speaking tomorrow night at 7 at Washington University as part of the school's assembly series.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow.
Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk about the impact that long summers away from school have on a child's education, and about a new website that seeks to help parents find summer camps. Plus, we'll discuss the 15th anniversary of the Go St. Louis Marathon and talk with a woman who will run her 100th marathon later this month. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.
Friends to know and ways to grow. A reading room.